This episode is brought to you by Hill's Pet Nutrition. Every shelter pet deserves a second chance, and you're making it possible for thousands of them every day. Because when you feed your pet Hill's, you help feed a shelter pet, which helps make them healthy, happy, and more adoptable, changing their life forever. So they can change yours. Over 14 million shelter pets fed and adopted. Science did that. Visit hillspet.com/podcast to learn more.
Hello and welcome to the Everything is Black and White podcast. It's time for the view from the opposition with me, Andrew Musgrove. And this weekend, it comes from Joe Bray from the Manchester Evening News. He covers Manchester City down in the Northwest. Joe, thank you very much for popping onto the podcast. Are you well?
I'm not too bad, thanks to you.
Yeah, I can't complain. Although my mood and the listeners' mood may suddenly drop when I remind them of the visitors to St. James's Park this weekend once again. It is Manchester City. It is a team that most other teams in the Premier League, if not all, do fear. It is a daunting challenge to get the better of Manchester City. And it's no surprise, perhaps, Joe, that they've started the season absolutely on fire, beating West Ham and then beating Bournemouth. Are we expecting, from your point of view, another 3 points this weekend, do you think?
I think City would do, yeah. I think they'd be disappointed if they didn't. But if City were looking at the fixture list, it's probably not one of the more straightforward ones. St. James's Park, it's not always been the best hunting ground for City. So there might be a little bit of nervousness. I would expect Pep Guardiola to really big up Newcastle. He bigs up every opposition and then finds a way to dismantle them with ease. But I think there is a bit of fear from Pep with St. James's Park in the past, because you've had a couple of decent results against City in the past, haven't you? So, and even last season, it was 4-0 to City, but it wasn't a 4-0 game. It was fairly competitive for large periods, and City just picked Newcastle off at the end. So I think just while City are getting to grips with sort of how to play with Erling Haaland, for example, getting the right team together and getting the rhythm up, I think it's not guaranteed that City will get the points, but it wasn't guaranteed that they get it at West Ham, and they found a new tactical system that they've never played before and completely stopped West Ham from playing. So you would expect that City would win, but I don't think it'll be as maybe straightforward as some people expect.
One of the key questions from a Newcastle point of view this weekend is whether Eddie Howe will switch to a five at the back. So this podcast has been recorded before Eddie Howe's press conference on Friday morning, so we may get an answer or two during that press conference. But Joe, is that something that regularly happens, do you think, against City, where teams maybe switch from what they usually play week in, week out? So for Newcastle's instance, it is four at the back. The teams usually, you think, try and switch to five as a way to stop City, being the best they are. And does it ever work?
Well, you do see a lot of teams pack the defence, and Bournemouth did it on Saturday. I don't know if they normally play five at the back, but they definitely did play a very solid 5-4-4-1 formation at the Etihad. And it works for a bit, but if City want to get past you, they do, really. And it was interesting after the game, Scott Parker was asked about Erling Haaland because he didn't really do a lot. He had about 8 touches in the game. And he said, well, it's all well and good focusing on Haaland and putting 3 defenders on him and 2 defensive midfielders, but then what do you do with Kevin De Bruyne and Gundogan and Foden and Mahrez? And you've got all these players that will find a way. And if City do have the majority of the possession, which they often do, it's often only a matter of time. But you do get the occasion where a team will defend better than most and will really frustrate City. And as I say, Newcastle have been able to frustrate City in the past. So, it's difficult, but I think five at the back is probably your best way of getting at City, even though it's no guarantee it will work.
So, as we've mentioned, beat West Ham, beat Bournemouth. With City, in case of the levels they're at, do you fear or do you feel they're not yet, maybe second, first gear? They've still got another couple of levels to go up.
Yeah, definitely. I think it was 3-0 at half time against Bournemouth, and it was the second half was very little to write home about. Both teams accepted that City had won comfortably, and they added another midway through, and that was it. So I think it's a case of getting up the fitness. Guardiola keeps talking about having a week before the games to prepare, because he's so often he has only 3 days because they've got Champions League and all these other competitions. But for this month, he's got sort of a week to prepare before games. So he's on about getting up the fitness, getting up the relationships between the new players, and that's the sort of thing that I think he'll be looking at. But no, they definitely did sort of maybe get second gear at times in the first half against Bournemouth, but nothing more than that. West Ham was a bit different because it was obviously West Ham away is always going to be difficult, isn't it? And they've got good players, but the plan there was to pack the middle, both the fullbacks inside, which I don't think anyone had ever seen before. David Moyes was like, we couldn't prepare for that because we'd never seen it before and we had no answer to it. It baffled us. And that's just stopped West Ham playing completely. So that wasn't really a vintage City performance, but it was quite an interesting tactical one. So it might be similar on Sunday at St. James's if the plan is to stop Newcastle playing rather than City trying to impose the game themselves. But I think it'll be an interesting tactical battle because there are players that should probably worry City. I remember Joe Linton last season had quite a bit of joy just running through the centre, which doesn't often happen against City. And obviously the signings this summer have strengthened, and Kieran Trippier is going to be there and offering a bit of a threat from set pieces, which Guardiola is always keen to not give away if there's an opposition player with a good delivery. So I reckon there will be it's going to be a bit different from City, but as often happens, if City want to play and want to dictate the game, they will do.
There's going to be some interesting lineups. You know, Sven Botman, you would think, would start. For what it's worth, I think Newcastle will go five at the back. And
yeah,
I think Botman will be tasked with stopping Haaland, which is going to be absolutely fascinating. You know, Botman is recognised as one of the best young centre-backs in Europe. It is seen as a massive, massive deal that Newcastle managed to, you know, tempt him up to Tyneside. So then to test himself against someone of Haaland's class, who is arguably the best striker in the world, I'm sure he's relishing that challenge. But just how good will he have to be to keep Haaland quiet?
I would say Bournemouth did it quite well. They did it by placing five players on Haaland, but he's not sort of come out firing as he has for Bournemouth, for Dortmund, sorry. I think you've got to be on top of your game to keep Haaland quiet, because even in those eight touches in the last game, I think three were shots. One was a very, very good assist where he held off three players and flicked it into Ilkay Gundogan. So he's doing stuff productively with the possession that he has. He barely touched the ball in the first half at West Ham and won a penalty and scored it, and then scored that good breakaway goal. So you've got to be on it for the full 90 minutes. Like, your focus has got to be there. But then if you're focusing on Haaland, as I said before, you've got to work out what to do with all the other players. And you've got players like De Bruyne and Gundogan, who already in the two games have done really well, just bursting through the centre with the space that's being created. And Haaland's making these runs that creates that space for others. So, yeah, you can keep Haaland quiet and keep him off the score sheet. But the challenge then is to have all your other players make sure that City's other attackers are not going to sort of knock in two or three goals themselves.
It is a scary list. I mean, De Bruyne is unbelievable. He's my captain for this week, just in case he decides to really turn on.
He's starting really well this season. Yeah. He looks in the mood.
I'm just going to mention to our listeners here at Chronicle Towers, there is some building work going on, and someone at the wrong time has got the massive drill out. So if you can't hear it in the background, Joe, can you hear it in the background?
I can't hear anything now. But...
right. Okay. So hopefully it's not going through the mic. So I do apologize if you can hear it. Rather annoyingly, they've got out just as we've decided to record here. But anyway, back to the fantastic list of players that Man City have got. But De Bruyne is just a different class. And what I think the point here is that they've got players who aren't even getting game time, which could walk into most Premier League sides. And it kind of shows you, it's kind of a note for Newcastle United to where they want to be. And it's going to take 4 or 5 years to get there, but you want 2, 3 world-class players in nearly every position. So if someone is having an off day, or if someone is kept quiet, someone else steps up. If someone's injured, someone else steps in, et cetera, et cetera. So I think it's going to be a really good test to see just how far Newcastle have got to go. And again, a good reminder of where Newcastle are hoping to be in a few years' time.
Yeah, and I think looking at the signings that Newcastle have made this summer, from the outside, it looks like they're quite sensible. It's not like you've gone out and bought loads of £40 million players just for the sake of it. You bought players that you need in key positions that are either young and can develop or have decent experience. So I think that bodes well that you're making those sensible signings, because that's the sort of thing that City did, didn't it? I mean, De Bruyne, for example, everyone was saying, yes, he cost, was it 50 million, 60 million? But everyone was saying he was a flop, but he fit the system well. And he was the right player for the right time for the right team. And they're the signings that City have made really well over the years, rather than just signing the big name. Probably Haaland is the first one in a while where he's the big sort of superstar. All the other ones have gone under the radar, or they've sort of quietly been a better player for a Premier League rival to sort of maybe weaken a rival and also strengthen yourself, which is another tactic that City use quite well. So yeah, I think it bodes well for Newcastle that they are making those sort of lower key but sensible signings that do fit.
Yeah, 100%. And I've been really impressed with how they've gone about their business in the summer transfer window, sticking to top targets. And of course, there is a couple of weeks and that approach may change. I don't think it will, for what it's worth. I think we won't see them just throwing money at it, because that has been proven not to work. You know, they are very meticulous in what they want to do. You know, they've got a list of players. If that A list isn't there, they'll go to the B list and so forth. It's not like they're just going to go out and sign anyone for signing's sake. In terms of the players Newcastle United have got, there's a few that, you know, get fans off their seats. Players like Callum Wilson, players like Alan St-Maximin. We'll go with Callum Wilson first off. Who's going to be tasked, you think, with keeping him quiet?
I would expect in defence, I think Nathan Ake will start again. He started very well. Obviously, Aimé Laporte is injured. John Stones has only played, I think, about 20 minutes this season, and he didn't go on the pre-season tour either. Ruben Dias has been okay, but Ake's been really good. And those two will know each other from Bournemouth. So it could be Ake, it could be Dias, probably one of those two. But they're the type of players that tend to do well against City. They only need one or two chances to do it. So I'm assuming that Newcastle won't have a lot of possession and will probably need to play on the break. He's exactly the type of player that can pop up and score a goal and put City under a bit of pressure. So, yeah, I think if Newcastle are going to get anything, it'll be up to him. And like you say, St-Maximin, who's we've seen sort of flair players do quite well against City. Wilf Zahar always has a good game when he plays City. They're kind of similar players. So, I think when you play City, if you're going to beat them, you need City to have an off day and you need all your players to be on top form, and your flair players to really stand out. And yeah, I think those are two that will be sort of central to Newcastle's hopes, I reckon.
Yeah, I mean, Scott Parker said something similar, didn't he, after the Bournemouth game. You need everybody to be a 10 out of 10 to get the better of City. On St-Maximin, on the way that Newcastle play, they do try and hit teams on the counter. And like you say, they're not going to see much of the ball. There'll be very few chances to really hurt City. So it's all about being clinical, isn't it? You know, when that ball does drop to Callum Wilson, or when the sight of goal does fall to Almirón or Alan St-Maximin, it's about just being clinical and getting that ball into the back of the net.
Yeah, absolutely. And if you can go ahead or get an equaliser, sometimes City, you might catch them off guard for 10, 15 minutes and that's when you need to strike, really. I think the City are often beaten in their own heads. And beginning of the season, things might not be clicking. They might get a bit frustrated. That's probably the way that you're going to do it. So the teams that often do win either strike early or strike late. And if you strike late, it's because you've got lucky and you've managed to keep them out for a while. If you strike early, you then have to defend really well for the rest of the game. I would guess that. I think if Newcastle are going to get anywhere, it might be down Newcastle's right, so City's left, because obviously the fullback issue has been sort of dominating City's transfer window. They let Alex Zinchenko go to Arsenal, which was very good value, but then left just one right back and one left back. João Cancelo is a very, very good player, but he's not really got a natural left foot. The amount of times the other day that he had to cut back inside and either lost possession or gave the defence some time to get back, because he didn't naturally use his left foot, it was quite striking. And in the Community Shield, Mo Salah exploited that so often in the early stages. Cancelo naturally comes inside. Salah just stuck to the byline and got a lot of space and a couple of chances. And it took probably about 15, 20 minutes for City to properly realise that Cancelo had to really stay wide. So that would probably be the area, if there is any on the pitch. City have signed a left-back this week, Sergio Gomez from Anderlecht, but he was initially signed as a development player. they are going to keep him this season. So I doubt he would start. He might come off the bench, but Cancelo will probably be the one to start, and he might be the weak link if you can get at his left foot.
Well, it's interesting you mentioned that, because on our preview podcast that came out yesterday with myself and John Gibson, we were talking about the potential to go five at the back, but then you obviously have to lose a player ahead of you. So I said, well, I'll keep the three central midfielders, and I would move either Almiron or St. Maximin as into a number 10 and Callum Wilson, the furthest man four, which then removes that kind of, I mean, even though you have got two wing backs against City, just how attacking are them wing backs really going to be? But it's interesting you mentioned there that the slight weakness perhaps over on City's left. I'm sure Eddie Howe has gone through the tapes and the DVDs. He's a meticulous tactician, so he will be well aware of the weaknesses, however small and however limited they are, that he can get the better of City. There's a little bit of a side story to this game, and I'm not sure if it's just on social media this is happening, but Miguel Almiron versus Jack Grealish. And especially the Newcastle fans on social media are quite looking forward to Jack Grealish making an appearance on Sunday. I think he might get booed ever so slightly. And just to put it into context for you guys listening, I'm sure you don't need a reminder. When City were celebrating winning the title, Jack Grealish made a quip about Mahrez, I think it was, being as bad as Almiron. And that didn't go down particularly well. And this story has ran and ran throughout the summer. Every time we mention it on our Facebook page, it gets liked, it gets shared. Everyone seems to have Miggy's back. I'm not sure it's that big of a deal down in the Northwest. But yes, I do think he might not get the best of reaction when he steps onto St. James's Park on Sunday.
No, he never gets a good reaction anywhere, just because of his price tag, his personality. You know, it was probably not a very wise thing to say, but by all accounts at that sort of Champions parade, he'd not really had much sleep, and he was in a very, very good mood, having just won his first Premier League title. I think Bernardo, because he was taking the mick out of Bernardo Silva in the same video, and Bernardo was just saying, yeah, you know, we were all just having a laugh and letting our hair down, and it was probably a dressing room joke that shouldn't have gone on social media. You would understand why Newcastle would be annoyed. I'd forgotten about it personally until you said it, but you know, I would imagine people don't need an excuse.
Newcastle fans have not forgotten about it, I'll tell you that.
No. People don't need an excuse to boo Jack Grealish, so just something like that. They're in America on the pre-season tour, and they played a Mexican side, and he got kicked in every opportunity. And we spoke to him after the game, because he could have got injured. Like, they were really targeting him. And he said, I like it. It drives me on. It spurs me on when people kick me, people boo me. And he was sort of said, bring it on. So, you know, if you're going to boo him, fair enough. But just be aware it might spur him on to have a good game and show you something and pop it in the back of the net. But he also might not play, because he didn't play the other day. Foden played instead of him. And then he came on at half-time because Pep said he didn't deserve not to start, but it was just the way that he wanted to use his tactics, and we were 3-0 up. But with it being 3-0 and the game was pretty much dead, he didn't really do much. So I would expect Foden to start on the left and Mahrez on the right, but he could come off the bench. He'll be warming up, so I'm sure he'll relish that that treatment.
The wealth of options there. I can sense Newcastle fans listening in with real envy. Just a quick reminder to our listeners that we have a free live event kicking off at 12 noon on Sunday. So just before Newcastle kick off against Manchester City, it's at the Tyneside Irish Centre. You come along, speak to myself, Aaron Stokes, Lee Ryder, John Gibson and the Times Henry Winter, talking all things Newcastle United. There'll be a chance to raise some much needed funds for the Sir Boy Robson Foundation and the Newcastle United Fans Food Bank. A couple of prizes as well to raffle off. Alan Shearer may have signed a shirt, so I'm sure you'll want to get your hands on that. I'll pop the link to the tickets in the description of the podcast. There's about 15 left, so do get your hands on those, and it'll be a great way to build up to the kickoff, which is 4:30, like I say, on Sunday. Joe, you're coming up. Is there anyone you're really looking forward to seeing on Sunday from a Newcastle point of view?
I've always liked Kieran Trippier. Is he fit?
He's fit. He's not had the best of games. Last couple of games, he's looked a little bit off pace. I don't think he's 100% match fit. And I think, you know, that will come in time. It's not the best game to have coming up straight away after two below average performances, in my opinion, partly because he set the bar so high. But yeah, he'll be starting. There's no word of it, of an injury or anything. I just think he's just lacking that match sharpness. So it'd be a real big test for him on Sunday.
Yeah, he always seems to do well against City as well. And yeah, I like Bruno Guimarães. He's in my fantasy team. So if he could pop up with a goal, that'd be... I wouldn't complain too much. I think Newcastle are exciting to watch again. There's a while when, you know, if you're a neutral, they probably just weren't that great to watch, but there's a bit of a buzz around now and the crowd are on behind them. And yeah, no, I think they've got a good balance of a team and they're only going to get better. So it's going to be interesting to follow Newcastle and see how they do this season.
Mm. And I mean, in terms of off the field, there's always a lot of comparisons made between Manchester City and Newcastle now because of where the money of the ownership has come from. And again, you know, there's always a look at what City did in the early years, what they did with the managers. But how would you look at them comparisons? I tend to look at them and think, well, football, even in that short space of time, what is it? You know, it's 12, 14 years, whatever it is. It times have changed. You know, do you think the comparisons are fair?
I understand them. I think it probably is fair, but as you say, it was probably easier for City to crack into the top four than at the time, rather than Newcastle doing it now. It will be a big challenge, but it can be done because you see clubs like Man United. We always say they're the big six, but they're currently bottom of the league, aren't they? So they're a team that you can get at and possibly replace. And you've just got to keep those signings being sensible and, you know, spend within your means and develop the academy. One of the things that you've done brilliantly is the academy. They're really reaping the rewards now. They've got a lot of local young players, but also I think they've sold sort of maybe 20, 30, 40 million just from the academy this season in player sales. So that then allows you to go and spend more on the first team. And that's the sort of thing that probably Newcastle would want to look at in the next decade or so, because it does pay off in the future.
Anything that Newcastle United managed to emulate in terms of what City have done over the last decade or so, you know, Newcastle fans will definitely take that. Joe, we'll finish on your score prediction then for this Sunday. How is this game going to go?
I think it'll be closer than people think. I'm going to say 2-1 to City.
Wow, I was not expecting that. I keep going back and forth. We started yesterday's match preview podcast. I was in good spirits. I was thinking, you know, Eddie Howe's going to get the confidence going, and it's, you know, confidence is half the battle. But then I ended it thinking, yeah, I'm quite glad, because we don't do score predictions on the match preview, so you won't do draw or lose. And I said, I'm actually, in hindsight, I'm a little bit glad we don't, but of course, yeah, I'm gonna have to. Yeah, I don't see Newcastle scoring. I think Haaland as well gonna grab a call. I'm gonna have to go 3-0. I do apologize to my listeners.
City, if they get one or two under the belt, then they look for more. They don't really sit back. It's one or two can turn into 3 and 4 very, very quickly.
Yeah, I think the good thing will be, though, that whatever the result, even if Newcastle do get a thump in, that they will handle themselves well, they'll apply themselves, and it won't be like it was of old where they turn up and it's just like a training game. I think, you know, you will see a team giving their all, trying tactically to match to get the better of City, and although it may not work, you know that's not for the want of trying. So fingers crossed, though, my prediction is wrong, as is yours, and Newcastle get all 3 points. We can only live in hope. Joe, thank you very much for giving us the insight into City. Safe travel up to St. James Park for this weekend's game. To you guys listening, please remember to like and follow the podcast through your podcast provider, and head over to chroniclelive.co.uk, where we'll keep you up to date with all the latest Newcastle United news, including live coverage of the game on Sunday.